I thought maybe we could do something a little different this week, and that is look at a mitzvah. And I think something we haven't discussed before is the mitzvah of tzedakah, or I suppose what you call charity in English. So that is it has remarkable parameters, and I'd like to try to go through some of the philosophical background and some of the practical elements of how one fulfills this mitzvah of giving correctly. This has nothing to do with the fact that we need another £300,000 for buying our building. Nothing whatsoever. Let's try to work through it and see if we can learn the practical aspects and also something deeper. Maybe if there's time, we can have some questions and answers in case I omit some important practical details. If I omit something, please feel free to ask. But first, give me an opportunity to build a picture of this mitzvah. First of all, what about the philosophical background, or the spiritual, or the Kabbalistic background maybe? What lies behind this concept of giving away what belongs to you to someone else? You know, every mitzvah has its own spiritual understanding, its own what we call time. Time means not really the reason for the mitzvah. We never really fully know a reason for a mitzvah, why he would command us to do something, but we can get hold usually of at least some feel for what this mitzvah is meant to achieve, in a sense, what it develops in us, what it does, how it develops the world. And the mitzvah of tzedakah has some remarkable features. Every mitzvah has remarkable features. This one, see if we can try and pick out what's unique about this. Perhaps the way to begin is like this. You know that unlike all other commandments, this one seems to have a quality that is life-saving. Let me give you an example. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we say one of the most famous prayers of all the liturgy, certainly on those holy days and probably in all of Judaism, is a very dramatic and very heartrending prayer based on a tragic incident that occurred. But it talks about the judgment that all humans have to go through, and the judgment of life and death that will be fulfilled in the following year. And at the end, we say three things. We say like this: tshuva, utfila, utzdaka. Tfila, utshuva, utzdaka means prayer, repentance, and charity. Ma'aviril, esrei agzera, can avert an evil decree. That means we go through this whole list of people who will not survive the coming year, who will die by the sword, and who will die by plague, and you know, fire, and illness, and so forth. And after going through all of these death sentences, we say, how can you possibly escape a sentence that's already been issued? Answer is, there are three ways to do that in Jewish thinking. Tefillah, prayer. Tshuva, which is repentance. Each of these needs full, of course, explanation. And tzedakah, giving charity. We're so used to saying it, we don't even think about it. But the question to ask here is, why charity? The other mitzvahs, you know, life-saving, visiting the sick and helping them, you know, preventing someone who's in danger. I mean, there's so many mitzvahs that you might think are central. What about the mitzvah of emunah, which is the central of mitzvah of all, the question of faith itself? Why charity? There are many other things you can do that help people, or that... Why is the mitzvah of giving away some of your own wealth or income, why is that potentially life-saving? And you see from this interesting thing, if you look at the other two, tefillah and tshuva, you see right away that they are naturally transformative mitzvahs. Tefillah, for example, prayer. The whole idea of prayer is to change yourself. Again, we don't have time this evening to go into detail, but let me just point a direction. You know, one of the most famous questions about prayer is how I can change God's mind. What does prayer mean? Prayer means Hashem. These are the things I need, right? Jewish prayer consists of requests. The weekday Shemoneh Esrei, for example, right? The 13 middle blessings are basically requests. I want health, wealth, wisdom. Many things you ask for. How can asking him change his mind? If it's good for you, he's going to give it to you anyway. Why would he withhold it? If it's bad for you, he's not going to give it to you even if you ask. A mother is not going to give her child something dangerous no matter how the child begs and pleads, right? If she has any sense. If you ask Hashem for something that's bad for you, he's certainly not going to give it. What kind of parent would do that? And surely if there's a tool that you need, he'll give you the tool even if you don't ask. What sensible parent would withhold a tool? from a child who needs it. So what difference is it going to make? Or the way the deeper sources would ask the question, if your request actually makes a difference, you're changing him, which of course is impossible. Changing his mind? That means that Hashem looks down and he says, you know, the amount of money you think you need is not good for you. So you say, well, Hashem, you know, hear me out, right? And then you make your very impassioned presentation, and Hashem looks down and he says, gee, you know, I didn't see it that way, but after that presentation, hey, yeah, is that what's going on? It's a serious question, this. And the answer in a nutshell is that the work of prayer is not meant to change him, it's meant to change you. The reason you're not going to be given that money is because the person you are now would be harmed by that. But if you can use the meditation and the inner agony of tefillah, which is the most brutal taking apart of the self. You know, the word to pray in Hebrew can only be expressed in the reflexive. Lehit palel means to pray. The conjugation of the verb means to do something to the self, to judge the self. The word palo in Hebrew, palal, that root means a judgment. Lehit palel means to put myself through a judgment. That means I'm assessing who I am and changing it. Giving a sentence if necessary. A corrective. So the idea of prayer is you change you. The reason you can be given what you asked for is not because you changed his mind, but you changed yourself into the kind of person who can now use that thing. Like I always say, if a child begs his father for an electric drill, a little boy is 10 years old, he wants an electric drill. No amount of pleading is going to get an electric drill. The father knows what he's going to do with it. He's going to drill a hole in the cat. That's what a 10-year-old do with an electric drill. But when the child convinces the father that he's mature enough to use a power tool correctly, then he'll get it. Not because he changed your father's mind, because he changed him. So tefillah, prayer, is obviously transformative. That's the essence of the mitzvah, to change you. That's why it's so hard, by the way. It's called avodah shebalev, the work of the heart. It's a work of the heart. Prayer's not mumbling some words. Prayer, tefillah, has to be a meditation so deep that it changes. If you take 3 steps back at the end of a Shemoneh Esrei, you did not change, you failed. Not mumbling words. It has to be a very, very ruthless work of self-analysis and change. And therefore, it could save your life. The reason it could save your life is because on Rosh Hashanah, if there's a death decree against an individual, and that person changes the definition of who they are, they might not have to die that year, because it's not decreed on them. The death decree was issued on a person who needed to die, who'd come to the end of all his spiritual merits. But if tefillah changes who you are, then the decree is not relevant. Tshuva is exactly the same. What is the mitzvah of repentance? The mitzvah of tshuva is to change who you are. It's not to say I'm sorry and mumble the words. The mitzvah of tshuva is going through the steps of the mitzvah, which is confession and remorse, regret, and resolution for the future. It changes who you are. The reason that tshuva can take away a divine decree is because that decree was not issued on that person. The decree was issued on the person who had the problem. You just become, you know, if a parent is going to punish a child, imagine the parent has decided this child needs a terrible punishment. And on the way to administer the punishment, the child says to his father, he says, you know, Abba, I've been thinking. And he manages to convince the father that he would never do that thing again, that he's realized through the shock of this experience, you know, and he gives a whole speech, and he convinces his father that he's no longer vulnerable to the same. The father's not going to punish him. The whole point of the punishment is to bring the child to where he needs to be. If the child can convince the father that the whole experience has brought him to where he needs to be, he doesn't need the punishment. The only reason a parent is going to hurt a child in any way in punishment is as a correction. And it's going to hurt the parent, but he's going to do it because the child needs it. But if the child has clearly used this experience to bring himself to a position where he's made the correction, of course he's not going to get the punishment. Not because he changed the parent's mind, but because he changed who he is. And by the way, that's why tshuva is so hard. Tshuva is not mumbling words, Hashem, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Tshuva means saying that so sincerely that you become a person who would not do that again. Of course you don't need the punishment. The punishment was meant to push you through the distance that you needed to travel to become who you must become. Tshuva has moved you through that distance voluntarily. You no longer need the punishment. So the reason you escape a din, a gzeira, a decree, by the mitzvah of tshuva, is because it transforms you into a different person. It's obvious from this that the mitzvah of charity must be equally transformative. Otherwise, we wouldn't include it in the same list. Tefillah changes who I am, I can avert a decree. Tshuva changes who I am, I can avert a decree. Charity, evidently giving charity, changes who you are. to the extent that it could save your life. You know, there's a law in charity that you're not allowed to give away more than 20% of your income. We'll discuss it in more detail. You should give away at least 10, but not more than 20. And there's some exceptional circumstances where you can give more than 20. The well-known case was the Tzanza Rebbe, great Divrei Chaim, very great Hasidic leader. It was well known that everything he had, he gave away. Any poor person, he gave it all away. So one day the Hasidim said to him, they said, Rebbe, you know you're not allowed to give away more than a fifth of your possessions. There's very good reasons why you shouldn't give it away, as we'll discuss. So he said, look, the normal law is that you're not allowed to give away more than a fifth of your possessions. But it says that Stocker, giving charity, saves your life. I am so concerned about the sins that I've done in my life. You know, he was unbelievably righteous. I mean, impossible to think of him doing anything wrong. But he said, I'm so concerned about the sins that I've done in my life, for which a decree may be hanging over me. The reason I'm giving more than 20% of my income is to save my life. And to save your life, you can break virtually any mitzvah in the Torah. That was his rationale. And where it leaves you and me. But, you know, the concept was that he was giving charity more than what is required to give as an act of life-saving. He chose that mitzvah. Why is it transformative? Because the essence of a Jew, and if you scratch beneath the surface and research this question deeply, you'll find the essence of a human being is the ability to give. To give something genuinely, to give of self. And that's what stock is. Stock is the feeling, it's the action of giving. Rav Dessler says there are two kinds of people, givers and takers. Givers and takers. You're either a giver or a taker. A person who's a taker is not spiritually alive. The Chazal say, it says, Senem atonas yichye, the verse says, a person who hates gifts is alive.